You know everything. But more than all, you love us. We just thank you for it. Amen. You know, sometimes we so easily get into a rut of just church and church and church. Oh man, I love Jesus. Thank you for worshiping. Thank you, guys. Come on, I love Jesus. This is the best thing that you can ever have is Jesus. We have a sort of a problem living on the earth and being a Christian. Now, the minute you... Did we set you out of your seat, brother? Are they always there? Okay. I just didn't want to take your seat. The minute you are born again, you have become a new creation. Now ask the person next to you, are you born again? If he's not born again, put up your hand, then I want you to bring him to the front. Ask the person next to you, are you born again? Okay, now the minute you are born again, we sometimes don't realize, but immediately we are put in another realm. So when you look at the person and you realize someone is born again, his spirit is made perfect. Yeah. His spirit is made perfect, not his body and his soul. So we've got this dilemma that we are spirit beings, but we have to live here down on earth. There's no empty chair, loose chair yet. These chairs are all tight. Leave it. Just pretend this is a chair. Oh, they are. My husband always said that heaven is God's throne. Now, God's throne is not floating around somewhere. Earth is his footstool. Come on. Try and sit on a chair and lift your feet up. Lift your feet up. Sit. Okay, you're going to sit like that for an hour. You know, there's this funny thing. Let me get money. I really think even in finances, we have to do more because we've got to learn the people how to do it, teach the people. The Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven. Don't lay up treasures on earth. So how do you lay up treasures in heaven? This is money. Do you all agree? Maybe we should have some coins. I wonder if I've got coins. Have you got coins? I've just got South African coins. Well, I've got enough here, brother. Okay, so this is money. I just want some weight in this. So I'm going to roll this. I'm going to lay my treasures up in heaven. I want you to see what happens. I'm going to now lay my treasures up in heaven. Heavenly Father, I'm giving my money to you. What happened? Oh, do you know what? God has a plan for this earth. And this is why you are on the earth.
Amen.
Gravity keeps us here, man. There's a purpose and a plan for us. How do I store up there? It's not there. It's a spiritual realm that is just, it's a realm. It's a realm that's above. Now the problem is, we call that a spiritual realm. But it's not a planet there. I think I have explained it to this church. The first, the second, and the third heaven. Did I explain it?
No.
Maybe I should explain it to you. I'm, of course, off my notes totally, and you nearly got me to preach another sermon. I forgive you. But God made, in the beginning, God made heaven, and earth. He calls this heaven and earth. Where's heaven? Everywhere. Then he made a firmament on earth and he divided the water from the water and he calls this heaven. We call it sky. Then he made a firmament on that one and he put the planets there. He calls it heaven. We call it space. So God does not live in the sky. He does not live in the space. He lives in the heavens. The heavens is the Lord's, but the earth he has given to man. So heaven is God's throne, but earth is his footstool. So the minute we're born again, we are from another realm. We are from a realm above. Jesus said over and over to the Pharisees, I'm from above, you from beneath, and you'll die in your sins. I'm from above, you from beneath. He said it three times in one chapter. God wants us to get up. I think Revelation 4 says, come up higher. Come up higher. Yeah. Does it mean you've got to go to some planet or some... Come on, the space people have gone everywhere now. They've gone, I think there's 35 missions to Mars already. There's three probes that have already gone out of our solar system. So where are you going to find heaven? Where is it? So far away. You see, and this is the problem we have. We think it's so far away. It's the realm just around us. But why do you say all these things, Annalies? Because your little mind and my little mind cannot work God out. And the minute we take the Bible, we want to sort God out. You cannot sort God out. We want to define everything. And then we pick up problems. And we don't know where we're going. But the kingdom is increasing. And also with the kingdom increasing, is the revelation increasing. Come on. Isaiah 9 says, a child is born, a son is given, the government is on his shoulders, and he is called Everlasting Father. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And then he goes on and he says, of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. But you see, the devil has lied to us, and we're all waiting for, well, I'm not, so we're not all waiting. But most of the church, they've taught us to wait for some calamity. And that makes us that we don't know who our God is. Our God is big. Tell the guy next to you, God is bigger than your mind. Okay, so above this line, we have the spiritual. And beneath this line, we have the natural. Now, maybe I should just let you read it, not just read it for you, that you really know that I'm really not lying to you. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Because this is a very important piece in the Bible. Verse 14. Let's start at verse 13. Let's start at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So in other words, what we have received from God is not from here, it's from here. Yow! That puts us in an unfair advantage in the first place. But now we've got to get our minds to understand that we have not received a spirit from beneath. We have received a spirit from above. Wow, I love this. That we might know the things, everybody say, that I might know. The things that are freely given to me by God. So I came to a point, don't tell me I can't know. I can't sort God out, but I can know the things of God because of the Spirit of God, because His Spirit now agrees with my spirit that I'm a child of God. I don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit inside of me prays. Come on, we've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we must come to this knowledge of what is inside of us. Now, over and over, the Bible says, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit says. So I just want to ask all the Canadians, why don't we get offended of that? Because, I mean, if someone asks me, have you got ears? I'm like, yeah, of course, can't you see? So he's not talking about these ears. You must have ears in your spirit now. He says, oh, that Paul cries out towards the end of his life. He says, oh, that you might have the eyes of your understanding. You see, we don't understand. I am body, soul, and spirit. My spirit is made perfect, but my body and my soul is yet to follow suit. But my everything my spirit does works out in my body and my soul. Okay, can you see me? Okay, can you see my spirit? Okay, I'm going to show you my spirit. Did you see my spirit? The ugly one. Now look at this one. So what I do and think in my body comes out in my flesh. So what God did, he knew the only way he could work with us is from the inside out. It's from the inside out. It's so amazing. If you go to Africa, there's so many things different. But the devil works the same way and the spirit works the same way. You come to Canada, there's so many things different. But the devil has the same tricks, but God has the same victories. So why do we concentrate on the differences on Africa? Oh, my word. And here he is. He's born again. All your customs and spirits in Africa could not stop God from working. Man, I love it. What a God we have. And you know what? He's put that victory right, booms, inside of us. That we can actually make it. Come on. The very fact, everybody is now preaching this thing that the very fact that you are born, you're already a winner because you were the number one sperm seed that made it. But guys, that's nothing compared to what Jesus Christ has done. Yeah. Because the devil tried everything to ruin your life, and here you sit. You're one of the most privileged people to hear the word of God. To sit in a church where the Holy Spirit can move. Oh, my word. We have to start rejoicing in what we have. Amen. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Your spirit man. Ha. When this chair is rotten and gone, my spirit is going to still be there. I remember the day Chrissy was born. I cannot tell anybody what happened to me. When I held that baby in my arms, and I thought, oh my word, I brought this child into the world. And he's going to live as long as God. And I brought him into the world. I made a choice in my life. I did not bring children in the world that they must go to hell and the devil must play around with him. And I made a choice. There's no way, there's nothing that's going to stop my children from serving God. And it was not easy. It was not easy. But I made that choice. And I think if we can understand who we are, and we can take that authority, we're going to see our children coming back to God. They will not be able to get away because my God is bigger than anything. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, I love this. He says that you can might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Listen, I don't pay tithes because I have to. Everything has been given to me. That is why freely God gave everything to me. That is why he says he loves a cheerful, joyous giver whose heart is in his giving. And I think really we need to start teaching the people to give, because if you don't give, you can't receive. If you don't sow seed, how are you going to get a harvest? The first church I went to, me and Michelle was in the car like, yeah, we got money. We're going to sow it because this is the beginning of my missionary journeys. I must be stupid if I don't sow. This is how we have lived all our lives. Because you know what? The world down here, there's a saying that can all you get, or get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. But God says, give and it shall be given to you. You can never outgive God. And giving is a principle in the Word that we have to learn. That we are, oh, I'm not going to give my money to the church. That's why you sit where you sit. When I give my money, I'm not giving it to the church. But I told you, I showed you. If you put it up, it comes back. People have to receive it. Lights have to be paid. Things have to be done with it. So it's the way you give it, the heart. Mm-hmm. You know why? I don't know why I'm going there. This was not planned. But, you know, you exchange your life for money. You exchange the very life that God gave you for money. And when you honor God with your money, you honor God with your life. Yeah. Money is a big test. Amen. I'm not going there. He says, which things we also speak, remember, we can freely know, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teach, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man cannot receive the things of God, for they are foolish. Not foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, this is the problem we have. We come, and with our natural mind, we want to understand God. We want to work it out. You can't. You can't. God is spirit. And unless you allow the spirit of God, oh my word, that scripture in Habakkuk, the knowledge of the glory of God will fill all the earth. You know what it means? It means there's a time, and it's right in front of us, where people will know what God has put inside on them. They're going to start waking up to righteousness and who we are, and we will be able to tell people of this hope that is in us and what is about to break. Last night we heard about the latter rain. Come on, man, it's our time. But you know what? Unless you get it from inside, it's inside, it's not on top. Your mind, Hebrews 8 says, the carnal mind, he says, those that are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. But the carnal mind is in enmity with God. So you get people in church. We're so busy reasoning that we lose it. So let's just look at the kingdom of God. He says in, where is it, Romans 11, 17. He says the kingdom of God, the above life, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I think that's so easy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you're offended, it's not spiritual. It's natural. Paul says, I strive to keep myself clear from offense. And the thing is, we get so easily caught up in everybody's business and everybody's, but every one of us got our own life to live. So grumbling is not part of the kingdom. Complaining is not part of the kingdom. Guys, sorry, I'm bringing us to gravel level. That where the tire meets the road. He didn't say we must moan about our governments. Yes, our government. Ooh. 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 You've not been in Africa, sister. But God didn't call us to criticize them. God called us to pray. You see, so there's so many people that's so caught up in what they say is right, but we don't have the right to say it. I told you yesterday, I'm now driving on the wrong side of the road, and they call it the right side. When you come to us, you're going to drive on the wrong side of the road, but we're going to call it the right side. So what is wrong and what is right? There's a lot of things that depend on it. You see, but still, it's not the natural mind, it's the spiritual mind. Everybody say spirit. Okay, so today I want to just sort of open the Bible and I want to just bring to you that you can understand what is actually inside of you, that you can freely know what is inside of you. There's a scripture in, I think it is in Genesis 7:11, I think. But I don't know. You know, you can go there later. It was when Noah has built his ship and the whole world was going to be destroyed. Everything was going to be taken out. Maybe we should go there. I should find it. Let me see if I can find it. Man, it is awesome. Come on, let's see. 7:11. Genesis 7:11. 7:11. That sounds familiar. I should not have forgotten it. Genesis 7:11. And the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, everybody say the same day, were all the fountains of the deep broken open and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, I don't know, I always heard that, you know, Noah was in the ship and it rained. But here it says the same day, the fountains opened and the heavens opened in one day. And it was a flood that could not be stopped. But this was a flood that was to destroy the whole earth. And all sin was going to be removed. Now, there's a scripture in Isaiah 59. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against him. But we must understand the flood. Now, if you go to that scripture in Isaiah, you will see it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood. And we all go, oh, the enemy is like a flood. You know, you just got him out the washing machine, then he's in the car. You just get him out the car, then he's in the tractor. Then you get him out the tractor, then he's in your children. Do you know that thing? Yeah, and then it's in your wife, yeah. But you're always running to try and keep track of what's happening. But if we can, you know that you can use this awesome Bible and all you can do is condemn yourself. But the Bible says God did not send his son to condemn the world. But the condemnation is that light has come, but people choose darkness. So you can actually use this to condemn yourself, but you don't have to. So if you read the context of the word, if you get the spirit of the word, you will notice that they translated it wrong there. It shouldn't be, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against him. No, it is when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against him. Because the flood was from the beginning. You see, but the flood in Noah's day came and he washed everything away. But the ark could not get settled until the dove has found a place to settle down. Okay, now Jesus. Let's just back off a little bit. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth, and darkness was on the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Listen, please, we must read the Bible with Bible terminology. If you read the Bible with a fleshly mind, you're busy with children's Bible, children's stories. But stories, do you spell it like that? But Hebrews 10:7 says, in the volume of the book it's written, I've come to do your will. Guys, we've got to get our noses back in the Bible to get the spirit of the word to understand what God wants to do in Manning, what God wants to do in Canada, what God wants to do on the face of the earth. The knowledge of the glory of God must come in. And we are the material God is going to use. Oh, but I'm sitting in Manning. Nobody knows about me. What? What? When Jesus was in that garden and he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. He saw your face and he said, no, I'll drink this cup. I'll drink this cup. You know what? He was thirsty. He was thirsty. He was thirsty for you to receive the flood that was going to pour out. Oh, then when Noah was in the ship, he sent out the stuff. But the ship could not land. And the people could not come out unless the dove could find a resting place. Because from the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered, but it couldn't find a resting place. And all through the Old Testament, what he did is he came down and he touched David. And David was like, wow! The next minute he fell for a woman. He touched Samson. He broke the gates. Then he fell for a woman. He touched... He touched Elijah. Elijah, look what he did. He prayed on rain and he ran away from a woman. Okay, why? Why? It's still the same. How many preachers are falling for women and rubbish like that? Because he went for the seed. He went for the seed, the worries. But you see, the Spirit of God came down, touched them, and they were like big men of God, and then they were... It went like that all the time because the dove could not find a place to enter. Then came John the Baptist and he said, on him who you see the Spirit come and stay, it's him. Holy Spirit come, Holy Spirit stay. And what do? We put ourselves in the Old Testament. You know, Sunday, oh, hallelujah. Monday, we're in our own thing. Come on, guys. It's not school, church, work, play. It's, I'm the body of Christ at home. I'm the body of Christ everywhere I go. And we've come to a point where we have made church. Like, we come to church and the pastor must now, he must now bring forth sheep. Have you ever seen a shepherd bring forth sheep? There's something big wrong. If you ever see a shepherd and he goes into labor and there comes little sheep out, there's something wrong. The shepherd must get the food for the sheep. And the sheep brings the sheep. But you see, we leave it for one man. And we've turned this whole thing the wrong way around. You just don't know how important you are. You are so important. There's only one of you made. No one else can take your place. There's only one Annalise. I'm special. I don't care if you think so. I am. If you don't like me, it's your problem. It's not mine. I like myself. But you see, what we do, and it's not just you. Most of our life, I walked around with complexes. I'm too fat. I'm too this. Oh, yeah, you can't say fat. I'm too big. But the old barn is painted now, so by the way, she can go. These men, I forgive them. God has set them free. I let them go. But you see, if you can just realize God has a plan for you. Come on, guys. God has a plan for you. But when that Holy Spirit, man, listen, it was not a little birdie that came from heaven. Can you imagine? Here is the water, and here is Jesus. He's in the form of a man. Here comes the Spirit down. It looks like a form of a man. It's a Spirit that came, and it fitted right into the Christ. And the Spirit got a dwelling place on the earth. It's not a bird that sat on his shoulder. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God himself. It's the Almighty Spirit that found a resting place on the earth. And the 3.5 years that Jesus walked this planet was the perfect time that ever was. There will never, ever be such a great time on the earth. But you know what he did? He said, it's good that I'm going to go away. I'm going to leave you. But don't worry. I'm going to come back. And I'm going to give to you what I have. And it's like 2,000 years and we still struggle to realize what God has given us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. This hope, I am saved by this hope. It's pushing me unto the point where it's not Christ in me, but me in Christ. In other words, when I look at Lo, I'm like, Christ, oh, sorry, I mean, Lo, is it you? Yep. Oh, I thought it was Christ for, yeah, it looks like Christ. Lo, is it you?
We're together.
Do you understand where we are? But we are so busy caught up with what? We're so busy caught up with rubbish. Maybe I should have brought a big duster. I think those daffodils will do. If I take them and just dust everybody off. You know, he says, run your race. Throw off the weight. Throw off those things that so easily and deftly and cleverly clings to you. He says those sins that entangles you. We all sit here with little issues. We sit with rubbish issues. We are the material that God is going to use to turn the whole place right side up. Because the place is upside down. The creation is crying. And say, so I'm ready. Everybody say, I'm ready, or I'm stopping to preach now. Okay, that was just the introduction. Let's go to John 4. Okay, now this is a revelation I got in Manning, in Dixonville the day. When I read it, I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen this before, because I usually just start this chapter in verse 4. But I'm going to read it again because it's very appropriate for what we're preaching. It says, listen to the words here. When therefore the Lord, who's the Lord? Jesus. That was Jesus. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and went to Galilee. I was like, when I read that, I read it in Dixonville, and I'm like, oh my God, look what it says here. I've never seen it. The Lord knew that the Pharisees had now an issue because Jesus made and baptized disciples. So what was going to happen, what was going to follow, was a church fight. Are you familiar with things like that? Yeah, but I don't like the way he preached. Well, God didn't say that's why you're there. I'm not going to church because I've heard that. That's not why you're going to church. You are the material. If every one of us come to church ready to see who is in church, to give them a hand of fellowship, to say something to someone, just one word can change someone's life. Just one word can change someone's life. Ah, but you know what? I don't feel like going to church. It's funny that you don't feel like, you know, Monday morning it snows, but you go to work. You can't say, I'm not feeling like I'm going to school. But when it comes to church, I don't feel like I'm saying these things because I can say it. My children are 33, 32, and 29. They have not missed a service. They have not missed a service since they were a week old. I had them in church. I never took them out. I never took them that way. They sat there. If other children came to play with my children, I said, go to your mommy. Leave my kids. I want them in the anointing. My children was there. They hated me at a time for it. They hated me. It's normal. But you know what? There's things children grow out of. But then they were in their most desperate need. They knew where to run to. Train a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart. You see, I met a preacher now, Dag Ewart Mills. And what I've learned from him is that the things of God is the most precious things we have. The world wants us, you know, oh, my job is more important. My family is more important. That is more important. Come on, guys, man. Jesus. Voila, man. I was number one for him. He's number one for me. Yeah, but my family. Yeah, but I'm not neglecting my family. They're all there. I'm not going to go to Jesus without my family. Ay, it's quiet now in this place. You know what? Here came a church fight. You know what is a church fight? It's fleshly reasonings, murmurings, competings. We have more people than you have. Oh, we have a better worship team than you have. That's not why we come to church. We come to church to worship the Almighty God. I can't say I preach better than Low preach better than me. I've got a different calling than Low. I've got a different race than Low. You've got a different race than me. So why do we compare? Why can't we just get along? Oh, please go read Hebrews 12 over and over and over till you get it. I think Hebrews 12 is the most important Bible passage that you must read. Look away from all that will distract by looking unto Jesus. You know what? He was going to be distracted here. You know what he did? He left Judea and he walked like 30 miles and he's on his way to Galilee. And then he goes past Samaria. Here, help me. Maar dis Peter is al bakkok. Brother, you must never say that again when there's Afrikaans people. Don't you say Habakkuk? Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Okay. So he's going to Samaria. And then he comes to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Guys, if you read this, you must immediately realize, oh, prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Remember, in the volume of the book, it's written, I've come to do your will. Now he says, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied, everybody say tired. He was wearied with his journey. He sat on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria. No. The Jews don't go through Samaria. And the Jews, they don't talk to women, not a woman of Samaria. It's a no situation. So there came this woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me to drink. In other words, he was thirsty. Everybody say, thirsty. For his disciples were gone away. Oh my word, he was alone. He's alone at a well. Here comes a woman of Samaria and he says, woman, I'm thirsty. Now this was not a very good woman. She had five husbands before. And she's alone with Jesus. For the disciples were gone to the city to buy meat. He was hungry. Everybody say, he was tired. He was thirsty. And he was hungry. And he ran away from a church fight. I never saw it that way. He just said, I'm not going to get stuck in here because I have a mission. And so many times we get stuck in people's things and in church things while there's a mission on our lives. There's a purpose for our lives. Okay, this is going to get good. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, she's totally in the flesh, and she's talking to the creator of heaven and earth. She's talking to the Almighty God. It's a flesh situation, but she didn't know what spirit she has to do with here. But she's right in the natural. She says, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Flesh, 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 flesh. Jesus turned and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me a drink, you would ask of him and he will give you living water. If you only knew who it is that you are talking to. You know, in John 10, he says, I am the door. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. I'm the life giver. Nothing was made without him. He made everything. If only you knew who you are worshiping. I sometimes stand in worship services and I realize, God, our words cannot even reach you. And we think we're just coming together to sing a song. Listen, guys, just get out of your mind. Get into the spirit. You have no idea the places God is going to take us. We have no idea who this God is. Do we think we impress him by our way of church? You know? Oh, I have given so much tithe today. God knows what you're doing. He knows everything. I think if we can just come to a point where we realize, God, here am I. Just use me. To think that God is still using me. I don't know who we think we're fooling. But God knows everything. But you know what? He loves us. Yeah. Amazing grace. I don't understand it. He just loves me. When other people don't like me, he loves me. He really, really, really loves us. We have to understand, if you only knew who it is you're asking now, you would ask him, you know what this woman goes? She goes, God is talking about a river that's going to flow from heaven. He's talking about a door that is going to be opened very soon. Come on, Revelation says, there is a door open in heaven. John 10 says, I'm the door. He, God coming to earth, and she says, like, she answers him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where do you get this water? Flesh. Flesh, the same as Nicodemus. You must be born again, otherwise you cannot even see the kingdom. You must be born of water and spirit, otherwise you cannot even enter the kingdom. How am I going to go back in my mother's womb? Oh, yeah. The flesh mind is stupid, stupid. There's a lady from, is stupid a bad word? Oh, I'm looking for a bad word. She's from Mauritius, so she doesn't talk English the way we do. She says, stupid, stupid. And she was so upset. She says, Annalise, it's stupid, stupid, stupid. Now, you know what? The flesh mind is stupid, 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 stupid. To think that God is talking about spirit and Nicodemus wants to go back in his mother's womb. Same with this woman. She says, where are you going to get the water? Are you greater than your father Jacob? The volume of the book, it's written about him. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, it's all prophecies foreseeing to the Christ. Here's the Christ. She says, are you greater than the shadow? The mind, the flesh mind is terrible. Then Jesus answered and said, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drink of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him shall be in him a well springing up into eternal life. The minute, you see, the problem is we are hungry and thirsty all the time. But the kingdom of God, he says, is righteousness, peace, and joy. He says, it's not eating and drinking. Now, you come anywhere. All we do on earth is eat and drink and clothe. And eat and everything you do is to eat and drink and clothe. And eat and drink and clothe. And eat and drink and clothe. Well, please, I am very glad you are all clothed. Does it mean we got to stop eat and drink and clothe? No, but our priority should change from eating, drinking, and clothing. Because he says in Matthew 6, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Because the heathen needs it. But how does it? Let's go there. I want to go read it for you. You will not believe what it says. We sometimes read the Bible, and the first time Quibbs preached it, I thought, what is he saying there? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we clothed? Take no thought, saying, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need it. They seek it. God knows I need it. Then he goes on, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added. Does he say stop working? He didn't say seek only. There's too many people that don't work. Go read the Bible. It says if you don't work, you mustn't eat. And that means spiritual people too. You can't Jesus, Jesus, Jesus and not work. Why do I say these things? I want the people to like me. He that drinks of this water shall never thirst again. In other words, there is a drinking, but the kingdom is not a eating and a drinking. There is a eating and a drinking in the kingdom that is different than the eating and the drinking in the natural. The problem is we are just eating and drinking in the natural. But think of how nice it is when the table is set and we've just had an awesome supper and there's all the fun is around the table. It's always fun around the food because we are fed. What about our spiritual? Oh, I want to take you to a crazy scripture. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. I love this. He's talking about Israel. Are you ready for this? Let's read from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. Say, I'm going to know. How that all the fathers were under the flood and they all passed through the sea and they were all baptized into Moses, unless you're not going to preach now the baptism. And they all did eat. They all did eat the same spiritual meat. And they all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Listen, when they were moved out of Egypt, he said, slaughter a lamb. And you all have to eat it. And the blood has to be on the lintels. And it was the Passover. And they set in a festival that they had to keep every year, the Passover. They had to keep it every year. And they had to eat that lamb. The first one, they had to eat everything up. They had to eat it. Because in the desert, this kept them going. Death passed over. They went into the desert. Their shoes didn't wear off. They go, take no thought of eating and drinking and clothing. He fed them. But what did they do in that desert? They moaned. They groaned. And you know what? God kept them in the desert 40 years till they all died. Because that was not God's plan for them. So, there's always, how does moaning and groaning work? Can I tell you? I come to her and say, you know, our pastor, really, I don't think he's good. You know, I don't think he's, he doesn't clean his car properly. Then I sow seeds of discontent. And we start, what happened in the desert? Exactly that. There were people that moaned about Moses, moaned about garlics in Afrikaans is eie and prayer. I always thought, what is the eie and a prayer? It's garlics and onions. They long back to garlics and onions. And well, my God, they just come through the Red Sea. We want garlics and onions. You know what happened there? They moaned about food. They say that the quail came down on the camp 3 miles to the sides, a meter deep. Yeah. The Bible says they ate it till it came through their noses. Come on, guys. We are so used to our comfy. Listen, many of the things that go wrong, it's for our best because we've come in such comfort zones. But if you just learn to face these things head on, step on it, you will not know what God is going to do with you. But you've got to realize what has happened with you. Let's go on. He says there, they did all drink of the spiritual drink. And that spiritual rock that followed them was Christ. The night was a Passover. For 1,500 years, they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. Where was this rock? In the ark, where the presence was. They drank from it. And year after year, they kept that Passover. But the night Jesus was betrayed, right in the middle where he's breaking, they're eating, all of a sudden, the scene changed. He takes the bread and he breaks it. He says, this is my body, broken for you. This is the cup of my blood, the New Testament of my blood. Drink it. And you know what he does? He changed that Passover festival into a communion. And 3 days later, he had communion with them again. And now we don't have to wait every year to have a Passover to remember. Now, every day we can have communion with Christ and remember what he has done for us. Guys, we must wake up to righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are the material that's going to shake the world. God is still going to take me to presidents. He's already started. Leaders are going to come to us and say, how must we serve God? Oh, Manning. Yeah, Manning. Come on, guys. Yeah, but I'm still in school. Wake up. There's no difference between the spirit. I told you that. The spirit is the spirit. He can use a donkey. If he can use a donkey, he can use me. Let's go on. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the desert. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. Oh my gosh, listen to this. The people sat down, they ate and they drank. What did we read here? They ate the same spiritual food. They drank the same spiritual drink. The rock was Christ. In other words, they were sitting around the things of God, and then they got up and played. Does that mean we haven't got to play? We mustn't play? No, it doesn't mean you can't play. Please play. Children, play as long as you can play. Grown-ups, stop being so old. Try and do something. Go jump off a bridge or do skydiving or something and start living again. Do it. What it means here, they sat at God's table and they went and they hoard with the things of God. What did Jesus do here? When he came, where that competition and that rubbish came, he left and he went because he's got a mission. He says, I'm going to pour out water on your insides. I'm not going to get stuck in church politics and people that don't want the Spirit. In every church, listen, it's not in Canada. It's not in Manning. It's in every church. There's always people that want to get you away from what God wants to do for you. But the Bible says, look away from all that will distract. There's always friends that will say, okay, now let's do that, let's do that. There's a time that you don't spend God's time with anything else. Put God first. Put God first. Put God first. Man, he says, acknowledge him in all your ways. He will give you ways to walk in. You know what it is like to feel that you know that nothing can come against and between you and your God. To come to that point where you know God will always provide for you because of the life you've lived. Do we buy our lives? No. It's just, that's the way it is. You're going to reap what you sow. Guys, it's never too late to get into the Spirit. Now listen to this. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,020. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Don't murmur, as some of them murmured and were destroyed. Now all these things happened to them for examples for us, and they are written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the world are come. Isn't it crazy? Come on, he said, if you drink of this water, it will become streams on your inside. And then he talks, I took you to Israel. They also drank the same, but they didn't mix it with faith. They never received it. Let's go back to John 4. I want to show you what happened to Christ. Remember, I told you, he was tired, he was thirsty, and he was hungry because the disciples went to get food, and he asked the woman for water. Now, when the disciples came back, let's see what happened there. Now, we all know they had a long discussion there. And finally, the woman realized it's the Christ. And verse 27, and upon this, the disciples came and marveled that he was talking with a woman. And no man said, what seek you or why talk you to her? The woman left her water pot and she ran away to the city. She said, come and see someone who told me everything I ever did. And he didn't tell her everything she ever did. And then she says, is this not the Christ? But he told her, I am the Christ. You see, we must not doubt with who we have to do. If only we will know the gift that we have in Christ. She said, is this not the Christ? And then the people came out of the city, and in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed and said, Master, please eat. They went and brought food. But he said to them, I have meat that you know not. Therefore said the disciples one to another, have any man brought him any meat? And Jesus said to them, please listen to this. This is the most awesome scripture. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. I want to ask you something. Did Jesus rest? No. Did he eat? No. Did he drink? No. He came there. He was tired. He was thirsty. He was hungry. He never ate and he never drank. He never ate and he never drank. The kingdom is not eating and drinking. But the kingdom is eating and drinking. But it's a different eating and drinking. And when we read it, we must understand that we have to eat and drink. The minute you drink from what the water he gives you, a well bursts open in your belly. But you know, the problem is we are not thirsty. Kuba said to me over and over before he died, he says, unless the student is ready, the teacher will not appear. John 7, verse 37, he says, in the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Listen, this is the last day of the great feast. It's just before Jesus was going to be crucified. Now remember, I started in the beginning and I said to you, Noah, when he was, the ship was ready, everything was ready. All of a sudden, what happened? In one day, the fountains opened and the heavens opened. In one day, the fountains opened and the heavens opened. In the volume of the book, it's written, I've come to do your will. That was a picture of what was going to happen to Christ. In one day, the fountains are going to open. And in one day, the heavens are going to open. And just before he was being crucified, he stood at the feast and he said, if any man is thirsty, there's water coming. The fountain is going to be opened and the heaven is going to be opened. Because he said to the woman, if you only knew who this was, he was the door. He was the door that opened heaven for us. His body was the veil that opened the Holy of All for us. But we don't understand it. I want to take you to, let's go to John, is it 19? Oh, I love this. I hope you like it as much as I do. Oh. Now there's, start at verse 25. Now they stood by the cross of Jesus, a mother and his mother's sister Mary and his wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, tomorrow is Mother's Day. And Jesus standing by him, whom he loved, he said, Mother, behold thy son. And he said to his disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things are now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said something, I thirst. I thirst. When the people in the desert were thirsty, he was the rock that was slain, and they drank of that spiritual. Then he himself came to the earth, and he said, I'm thirsty. Woman, give me water. And when he got busy with the kingdom, he never drank. But on the cross, I suppose from the garden up to this point, he didn't have a drop of water. already thirsted in the garden. But he said, God, I will drink this cup. And this cup will quench my thirst. When the Spirit left him, he said, I thirst. And there was nothing on this earth that could satisfy his thirst. Look what they did with him. Now there was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. Vinegar, in the Amplified, they call it sour wine. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. But just before this, he stood at the feast and he said, if anyone thirsts, come to me. Come to me. I'm going to open it up. Now on the cross, he says, I thirst. And nothing was given him. But he knew that. He knew that from the beginning. And he said, this is the cup that I'm going to drink. He said, Father, let it just pass from me. But when he looked up, he saw Annalise's face. And he knew that the thirst he was going to thirst was so terrible and nothing is going to be. He was willing to drink that cup to a point where his sweat became blood because he loved me. And I don't know who this God is I'm serving. You know, I'm preaching to all of us. Guys, it's time we wake up. It's time we wake up. We're Christians. He's given us his all. What are we busy with? We're playing church. We're playing church. We've got enough power in this place here that can turn this whole city upside down. We must just start believing it. He said, if anybody thirsts, come to me. No, the pastor must. No, this one must prophesy to us. Come. Me and Lo was talking today. You know, in my situation, nobody can help me. I must decide to stand up and run into Christ. Because in him, he's the rock of ages. He's the one that took my place on the cross. What was the cup that he wanted to pass? It was, Hebrews 12 says, he tasted death for every man. He was thirsty also. He was a human being. He went through everything I went through. But he saw my face. He saw my face. He saw your face. Listen to what he says here. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross for the Sabbath day, for this Sabbath day was a high day. It says this was a solemn and a very important one. They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken off quicker. Then came the soldiers. Now, I want you to take the wording that follows this piece of writing here. Then came the soldiers and break the legs, of the first and of the others which were crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw, he's already dead. They broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers, listen, in one day, the fountains opened and the heavens. They took the spear and pierced his side. And forthwith came out blood and water. Now they've got all these medical terms for it. But this is not just a normal situation that happened here. The fountain was opened. Out of the temple, out of the throne, and out of the Lamb will come water. And it will be a fountain that will flow into eternity, into everlasting life. The minute Jesus died, the soldiers was there and they pierced his side and out came, it was a wonder because listen to the words here. He says, and he that saw it bear record and the record is true And he knoweth that he said, it is true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. No bone of him shall be broken. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. He says, and he who saw it was the eyewitnesses, gives evidence, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he tells the truth, that you might believe. In other words, he's saying over and over, guys, this is not just a story, it's true. When they pierced Jesus' side, the fountain was open. Mm-hmm. The fountain of life. And Ezekiel kicked in. He says, out of the temple will flow rivers. Come, let's go to Ezekiel. I love this. In one day, can you see it? The fountains opened and the heaven opened. Ezekiel 47. And afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house. Can we read the Bible with the Bible? Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. He was the door opening it for us. He's the door that opened heaven. And in the same day, the door opened in heaven. The temple was opened in heaven. And the fountain of life was opened. The same day. It is 2,000 years ago, this fountain was open. You know what Ezekiel says here? He says, and behold, the waters issued from under the threshold. And he goes on and he says, 1,000 cubits to the ankles, 1,000 cubits to the knees, 1,000 cubits to the hips. And then it becomes waters so much that you will swim in it. Can I read it? He says, and it shall come to pass, these waters shall issue, verse 8, these waters shall issue out towards the east country and go down to the desert and to the sea. And they will go forth into the sea. The waters shall be healed. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which move, where these rivers shall come, shall live. And it shall be a very great multitude of fish. Let's go on and we jump to verse 12. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and that side, shall grow trees for meat. What is trees? It's human beings. God said, my meat is to do the will of God. We are going to be Christ on the earth, doing the very works of Christ on the earth. This is where the waters is leading us. It had 1,000 cubits. I said it over and over. Shame. Ezekiel, couldn't they count? Was it 1,000, 2,000? Why not going up? 1,000 means perfect. Perfect flow. Perfect revelation for that time. But we must realize we are in the time of the amount of water. What did you quote in the beginning? The knowledge of the glory. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You see, we're so used to reading the Bible in the natural that we can't even put these things together. A door is a door. If it's there, the door is Christ. Amen. The water is spirit. If it's there, the water is spirit. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Yeah, but our government, forget the government. Pray for them. Get your eyes on the prize. Run your race. I know I'm way deep for you now. But you know what? Someone said to me, Annalise, you're over our heads. I said, guys, lift up your heads. If I'm above your head, stand up, but just get it. Listen, we're in the time. It's 2,000 years since the water started gushing out. Come on. Yeah, come on. Jesus said, know you not that you're the temple? Paul said, what? Know you not that you are the temple? He says there will be trees on both sides of the river. The leaves will not fail, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to its months, because the waters, they issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaves for medicine. Go with me to Revelation 22. Annalise, where do you get all this? In the Bible. He showed me, verse 1, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street thereof, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Can I show you the leaves of the tree? God wants us to put our hands on people's heads and heal them. Amen. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Oh, no, we wait for the preacher. No, there's a river that comes out of the sanctuary. And you are a tree right next to this river. And you will bring forth fruit that will be for meat. And you will bring healing to the nations. Why? The ultimate thing to be conquered is death. Mm-hmm. Sickness leads to death. That's why. Can you see that this is exactly the same portion as in Ezekiel 47? It's exactly the same. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Where is that going to come from? From you. Because out of the temple will gush this rivers. In one day, I'm going to keep on saying it till it falls. In one day, the fountain were opened and the heavens were opened and the earth was destroyed. But now, in one day, the fountain were opened and the heavens were opened. In one day on the cross to bring life to the deserted land. Oh, I love it. I'm so sorry if you don't get it, but I get it. Annalise, that was awesome, woman. Preach it. Preach it. Just go for it. Can I read you a scripture? I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among grass, as willows by watercourses. Desert. My prayers just go to the ceiling. Why do you pray for the ceiling? Why would you pray to the ceiling? Amen. What are we busy with? Hallelujah, one got it. Thank you, woman. Listen. It's not, where's God? Where's God? I don't know where's God. He's inside of you. He's inside of you. Oh, I don't know how to get the answer. It's inside of you. Yeah. What more? Yeah. What more must God? Yeah, but my husband, God's bigger than your husband. You know what's your problem? You look at your husband. Look at God. Look away from all that will distract by looking unto Jesus and run your race. Yeah, but my school teacher. You know what? There was a guy in our church. When Quibbers was not there, this guy really was horrible. He was always picking fights with everybody. He was a lazy blob. He didn't do his work. And I was just... And when Quibbs was not there, I took my chance. I fired him. When Quibbs came back, I told him everything that happened. You know, I was right. But in the spirit, was I right? In the flesh, yeah, I'm right. You know what Quibbs said? He said, I wonder who God is going to give to you next time. You see, because we are so, we want everything our way. Listen, Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is not a wish of I'm going to make it. It's a hope that will not be ashamed, that goes right beyond the veil that is an anchor for my soul. It's not some wishy-washy wish. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not wishing that, oh, someday I'm going to make it. Guys, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. You know what? If you decide you can make it, what I have just been through, I think 2004, I had a normal day in my life lost. Just a normal day. But my God, it's inside of me. Nothing can separate me from the love that God has poured out for me. But unless you realize it, you know what? You know how big is this? Do you know this can be bigger than God? This is bigger than God if this is all you see. She's making my day. This is how we walk around. Oh, my situation. I'm sorry for you. Die in your situation. Because Jesus did die for you, what more must happen? Yeah. You know what? We have got no time to meddle with church politics and rubbish, and this one said that, and so, look away from it. Look away from it. Run your race. There's people dying on the other side of the line of your obedience. Come on, guys, we need to hear the voice of God. God, Tanner, God doesn't just speak with big people. He doesn't. You young people, you might be in the class and God says to you, lead that one to Christ. Tomorrow she might not be there. If we can just hear this voice of God, can we understand that it's the most almighty God? He said, if you... I can't get over it that he was so thirsty for me to receive his water that he never got a drop here himself. He was willing to drink that cup that he would never be filled so that I can receive that water. What are we waiting for? Oh, Jesus must give me a parking. Oh, I'm glad he gives you a parking, but he wants to do more than give you a parking. Amen. Oh, if only I can get a car. Okay. Have you seen how many cars are on the road? Maybe if you put God first, the other things will come in line. But all we do is chase. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to clothe? What are we going to drive? And where are we going to stay? And how is it going to be? He says, look at the birds. They sow and reap not. Does that mean we mustn't sow and reap? No. How much more will God look after us who do sow and reap? Our barns will be full. We must be the most blessed people in Manning. The people must say, that church, what happened to that church? Because everybody is going to start giving and receiving and putting God first, and it's like the devil cannot even come in if we get our eyes on Jesus Christ. He's got no, listen, think of it. He's got no working on the face of the earth. He's got no dealing here. The earth belongs to God. The heaven is God's. But the earth he has given to man, he's not given it to the devil. You got to have a body to function here. When Jesus came, the devil wanted Jesus dead. He couldn't do it because he didn't have a body. So he went to Herod and said, kill Jesus for me. Herod was so bombed, he killed 3,000 kids. He never got the right one. Listen, if the devil is so strong, why am I standing here preaching? Why didn't he kill me before I came here?
Yeah, come on.
I didn't want to live after my husband died. But God has a plan for me. And nothing can stop it. Because my heart is right. You have got no idea what God wants to do with you. But now, I'm thirsty. There is a well within you. And you can drink at will from this well, but we don't do it. Can I explain to you how do you drink? Oh no, that is just to say we have received the Holy Spirit. No. What is wrong with us? Imagine you and someone wants to come tell you a dirty joke. Come on. Oh God, can we understand what is inside of us? Why do we want to work it out? Let it come from here. And wash us, and wash us. If you just start and say, God, take this precious word and say, Holy Spirit, this was given in by the Spirit. He says, holy men of old wrote as they spoke, as the Spirit moved them, and it was written down. So when we read it by the Spirit and we get this word and we start confessing the word, the same Spirit that, oh man, we're going to start creating with our words. That's why we believe with our hearts and we confess with our mouths. But we are talking rubbish all day. There's a magazine in our country that's very famous, Daeshanwit. And they came and they made a documentary of our ministry. I got this magazine in my hands just as we were going through the customs to Singapore. I opened it and I nearly fainted. On one page, there's 23 lies. Lies, terrible lies. Really degrading our ministry, but horrible lies. The photo, the picture they had of us, we were sitting on a bench that I covered myself. And there's a leather couch. There was a leather couch there. But we were sitting, and they say, yeah, they sit on their fancy leather couch. We were not even sitting on it. So the stuff we read, the news is bad news. It's not good news. We went to our local newspaper, and we took some of the miracles and say, don't you want to publish this in the newspaper? They said, no, it's not. We have to have bad news. So that's bad news. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news unto salvation to all who believe. Not all who reason. It's you believe. Listen, if we can just, I think this is what I love about Lowe's ministry. He really doesn't reason. He takes Canadians and he just lets them. He doesn't reason at all. He doesn't think at all. Never mind reason. He doesn't think. He doesn't use it at all. He just, if the Spirit says move, he moves. But isn't that what we have in Ezekiel?
Yeah.
Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, Lord. What you do, I do. Oh, no, it's just a song. No.
No.
No. No. I want to set you free. Everyone here, but there's all Dixonville is also here. Hey. I want to set you free. Because whom Christ has set free is free indeed.
Yeah.
I'm not in a competition with Corey. Corey is the pastor in this place. Thank God for the man of God he's placed here. Can I give you something very funny in my life? Everybody around wanted us to be celebrities. But because of me, you can't be a celebrity, because when people go very smart, I go very flat. I don't like that. I just like to be normal. So a guy bought me a Audi A8, the biggest, bestest you get in South Africa. 3 months before Kobus died, he gave it to me. I sold it and gave the money to the church. I don't want the thing. I'm just like that, you know, and I really want you to have the best, but I don't have to be what someone else has. But my husband, he really loved cars, and I had sports cars, I had everything. I gave it all away. I want a bus that I can load people in, I can put rocks in, and I can put plants in, and I want to go through the bushes. So you know what he did? He, in South Africa, you have personal number plates. So he puts number plates on all the cars, and he names my car Royalty. I'm like, no, this is the last thing. He says, God said, I must put Royalty on your car. So every time I must write my car number plate, I'm writing Royalty, and people look at me. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the car. It doesn't fit me. It doesn't. And after Quibus died, I drove, the first time I went in my Audi, I realized, I'm not in his car, I'm in my car. Oh, so that's why I got the car. Then I sold the car and gave it away, because I know God is going to look after me. As I walked into this building, Corey said to me, God says you're Royalty. I'm like, ah? From where are you, brother? He doesn't even know what he's saying to me. But if you know what is going on in my life and what God said to me, and how through the years, where other people ran for it, I threw it away. God said, that's exactly why you're going to have it. Yeah. If I must tell you what God has said to me, I walk. So God has placed men here. There is men here that can do it. But we all have to wake up to what God wants to do in Manning. Yeah. Yeah. And I think as a group of people, I don't know, are you hungry for God? Yeah. Come on, guys. In one day, the fountain was open, the heaven was open. That stream is in within us. He will put streams in the desert. There's nothing, nothing, nothing that can bring us down. We will be fruitful 12 months a year. When we lay our hands on the sick, they will recover. But Annalisa, I've done it and he didn't. Well, then you do it again. You grow in grace. You know, what child, when he starts walking, say, well, he walked and he fell and he says, I'm not going to walk. It doesn't work. There's no child. All of you fell and fell and fell and fell and fell and fell. When you start your schoolwork, you learn 1 and 1 is 2, 1 and 1 is 2, 1 and 1 is 2. Till you go out matric, you must know 1 and 1 is 2. You must know 1 and 1 is 2. 1 and 1 is still 2. You hear it over and over till it becomes second nature. If you've done something for God and it didn't work, go for it. Go for it. Go for it again. But here we are tonight. What are we going to do with God? Not with Annalise preached here. Don't be Annalise. I was this week at a place and this woman said to me, oh, I wish I was you. I thought, you're stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. You don't want my life as a present. But I'm so glad for what has happened to me, because I've woken up to what God wants to do with me. But what about you? Can we stop our excuses? Can we run away from all the... You know what I respect about my children? Lo, you'll see, especially Petrus. When anybody talks about anybody, he gets up and he walks out. He says, I'm not called to listen to that. Your spirit is made righteous. God's got a plan for you. Stop thinking you can't do it. You can do it. You don't have to do what other people do. You have to do what you have to do. It's for freedom. Christ set us free. Every one of us has a race. I've got a capacity to do a lot. sleep little, work hard, do a lot. Don't try and be me. You've got a capacity for something else. But the big thing is, are we letting the stream flow? I want you to stand up. I want you to put your one hand on your stomach. Say, I release the flow of the Spirit in my life. Put your other hand on your head. I bind my natural thoughts. And I command my spirit to agree with the Spirit of God that I can be an outlet of the water of life to everyone around me. I am the material God is using to change the earth for the glory of the knowledge of His glory to fill the earth. I am the instrument. And now we're going to pray in tongues. Come on, every one of us. Mengele shekilara handai griya sondul robu shandai ondere bi sadlara bashukutu sondundoi mangale sheketi seketi shandoro bondhana. Come on, out of yourself. Mungale hayendara handlara bashandlara basondoi sheketi nai mondle bi shelara basendra bondoi sheketri andunu rebe henlara bashketi senanai boraba shukutu sandare bi sheketri andunu. I want you to look at your hands. Say, these are the hands that God is going to use to change people. Now, I want you to get someone close to you. Lay your hands on him. Ask him what he wants. And I want you to pray for him. Set him free. Heal him and bring life to him. Now, in Jesus' name, you put your hands on someone now. Come on, Karabashondrobus Sundla.